Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Dino Ray Ramos.
And I'm Amanda Nduka. And for today's episode, we have Orange is the New Black star, Diane Guerrero.
Yeah.
And we recorded, this is interesting, we were just talking about this, we recorded this podcast about a month ago or 2 months ago.
Maybe about a couple months ago, yeah.
But like with her story, what's going on right now with immigration, it's really the best time to bring it out.
Yeah.
Because she was a child that was separated from her family when she was, I think she said, in high school.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or like and teen, preteen,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, she has a great, I mean, she's talked about this numerous times, but she, you know, came home and everybody was gone and she didn't know, as a young girl, she didn't know where to contact them. And
yeah.
And so.
And it couldn't be any more
relevant. With everything that's going on right now with the border, with the family separations and people, you know, out there rallying to get families reunited. She has a great story, and she was also at the recent rally.
The families belong together rally, the one in DC. She gave her speech and she shared her story.
Yeah,
it was like very impassioned. I think also she was there. I think at that rally, Lin-Manuel Miranda and Alicia Keys.
Yeah, there's a lot. Chrissy Teigen
was the LA one.
Yeah, you're right.
But they were all over the country.
Yeah.
But to have like someone like Diane Guerrero, who actually lived through this and tell her story.
Yeah.
Her book is called My Family Divided, and it comes out July 17th, and it talks about her experiences with immigration and her family. Pretty much, you know, she spoke at the rally, and it's... from her speaking from experience kind of makes the story even more real.
Yeah.
And she has a platform to say it. And
I think we really kind of connected with her being kids of parents who were immigrants. So, mm-hmm. I mean, none of that. We didn't have to deal with, you know,
being separated
from families. You know.
But to hear it from someone, it kind of puts it like into perspective of what's going on.
And I mean, and also on top of that, she's a great actress.
I love her in Orange is the New Black.
She also did Superior Donuts. She was in Jane the Virgin.
Oh, yes.
She recorded on Jane the Virgin. Yeah. So, yeah, without further ado, here is Diane.
Like to welcome to the New Hollywood Podcast, Diane Guerrero. Thank you for stopping by
and
visiting
us.
We like to just start off with our guest just kind of talking about your Hollywood journey. and like kind of what made you want to get into the business, and when you first started, what kind of roles were you auditioning for, and like kind of who were some of your role models and influencers?
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I always wanted to be an actor as a kid. I always wanted to be an entertainer, and I would always perform in front of my family, and it was just something that I really wanted to do. I went to a performance arts high school, and I actually did music there, but I still had this dream of becoming an actor and being on television. You know, when you would watch, you know, kids on TV, or you would watch movies, and you'd be like,
I could do that.
Yeah, we all went through that.
Or like, I remember watching like the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
And being like, oh my God, I could so be in the Mickey Mouse Club.
I'm like, why wouldn't they like, you would just think about what do you have to do? What did you have to do to get there?
Yeah.
And so I was like, damn, maybe they find people at the mall.
Yeah.
So I just go to the mall.
and just hang out.
I know. I was like the Walmart kid, like singing that song where that's been going
Walmart.
Around.
I love that you know Walmart, because not that many people here know Walmart.
Walmart?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't like Walmart.
I don't either, but I'm like, I grew up with Walmart, and people, like, when I moved here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, is there a Walmart around here? Just out of, like, being naive, they're like, Walmart?
Yeah.
I think Californians prefer Target.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. Actually, the first time I went to Walmart, I was, like, actually excited, because I was like, damn, let's see what Walmart is all about. I was so depressed.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I was like, I can never come back here. This is not Target.
It's horrible.
So going back to what I started, I had actually gone to school for political science and communication because I was really interested in, like, I wanted to be an actor, I wanted to be on television, but I also wanted to like make a difference. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna be a journalist or a news reporter. Mm-hmm. And so I went to school for poli sci so I could get, you know, kind of all my information, and then communication so that I could learn what kind of media I wanted to do. And so that was a lot of work. And I was like, this isn't as fun as I thought it would be. And then I thought maybe law would be my thing.
Yeah.
So I worked as a paralegal for a while. That was actually what I went to study for. Mm-hmm. Didn't finish that. Mm-hmm. I was working at a law office as a secretary. Or I forget what they're called now.
Administrative assistant. Now? I think it's different. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought I was like working in the 60s or something, on like a Mad Men type of office. But anyway, I started taking classes, like acting classes, as just a form of therapy because I was kind of going a little crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was something that my therapist suggested so that I could explore that avenue and just kind of do this something for myself. So that it was part of my self-care to try something that I really wanted to do, mm-hmm. and just say yes to myself. And so I did, and then I just started, you know, kind of, I did things a little differently. I mean, everybody has a different journey, mm-hmm. and mine was to go online and go on Craigslist and look on the entertainment section. Wow. And I was like, okay, this is how it's gonna, because I lived in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and like there were two casting houses, and that's it. You didn't have agents there. Mm-hmm. It's not how it works out in New York or LA. So what you would do is that you really had to fend for yourself. You had to find some stuff on your own. So there were people making like horror movies in their backyards, or like
student films
and like things like that. So I got involved in that, and so, you know, nothing really that serious until I started auditioning with Boston Casting. And like my first role was to play a waitress who got out of a shift really late and falls asleep at the wheel and runs over this dead body.
The body's already dead,
but you know they were trying to pin this on me. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I was like, okay, these are the kind of roles that I'm going for. But I was really happy because it was sort of another reminder of to say, okay, I got this. I didn't think I was going to get it. So now let me see what else I can do. So I should keep pushing forward. Mm-hmm. And this show was Body of Proof. Mm-hmm. I forget what episode for those who want to see my intro. But after that, I moved to New York and I went to a studio and I kept, you know, studying with like these like cultish kind of acting studios, if you guys know about that. Mm-hmm. Totally wasn't my freaking thing. I hated it. I hated going to class and having to like sit in my shit, as people would say, and like cry and do all this stuff. I'm like, I just kind of want to read this. And I want to hit my mark and just like say my lines.
You want to be very like kind of practical and pragmatic.
Yeah, I just didn't think I would have to like access, you know, my puppy's death every time. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out like my own thing. But yeah, so then I continued to audition because I was like, this is cool, but I'm going to try to really get out there in the real world. Mm-hmm. And then I got an agent. I had a manager who was really awesome and really understood me. And then I auditioned for Orange Is the New Black, and mm-hmm. that was sort of like my big break.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And a good break.
It was a very good break. I had no idea what that break meant, too. Oh, yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, at first I started this whole acting thing as like, I'm not delusional. Like when people ask me what I did for a living or what I wanted to do, I'd just be like, well, you know, I just kind of want to.
I'm here and there.
I'm doing some odd jobs. Yeah. And yeah, the acting thing, I just want to try it, you know, because mm-hmm. what if I die and I never tried it and mm-hmm. then I would feel really awful. So that was the way I looked at it. And so when it happened and I told my parents about it, I was like, it's this show online or whatever. I don't even think it's real TV. Like, it's just online.
It's not real.
It's an online show. Yeah. It's like a web series is what I thought. Now web series are killing it. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my God.
It goes to show you how new this thing
is. And like Orange Is the New Black came out like it was right when Netflix was kind of getting their
It was one of the first ones they had.
What was that first one?
House of Cards was first.
Okay, yeah. And then,
And then Grimm, I think. Yeah. Grimm and then Orange Is the New Black.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Grimm was on NBC.
Oh, or was God. It? Was it? was I'm sorry, not Grimm.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Hemlock Grove.
Oh my God, you're right. Wow, please edit that out.
No, it's the same world, like yeah. kind of yeah. sci-fi yeah. supernatural.
And to be fair, Hemlock.
Hemlock Grove
was Grimm.
Yeah.
It was a lot more graphic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, since then, like, you've definitely made a name for yourself on television, like with Orange and New Black and then with Jane the Virgin. Mm-hmm. And I guess most recently, Superior Donuts.
Superior Donuts.
Yeah. But what I really loved about your story and why I'm actually really excited that you're here is that you've used your success as a platform for immigration and for deportation awareness. Mm-hmm. What was your, like, was that your primary, you kind of use your personal experience too, which I think is super interesting within that platform, but what was your, like, was that always kind of like your goal in the back of your head? Because you said you wanted to make a difference. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I didn't think that I was going to use my story, like, I thought I was going to always fight for social justice in whichever way that I could, and I wanted to use my platform for good, but I didn't think I was going to come out and use myself and my story as an example.
Sorry, could you briefly just, I know, because could you briefly just like go through it?
Sure. Well, you know, my story is, and what's unique about it is that I'm an American citizen, but my parents were undocumented immigrants. Mm-hmm. And when I was 14 years old, they were deported. And so I chose to stay here in the US, in Boston in particular, to keep on with my studies. And I didn't see another way for me because I was an American and I was determined to go to school and follow my dreams. And I really thought that I would redeem my parents' story if I stayed here and just kind of, continued on with this journey. And I didn't know where it was going to take me, but I knew that I had to work hard for them because we had gone through just so much. It was so traumatic to be separated from your family. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that I thought I was really going through alone, because at the time, 2000, I think it was 2000, we really weren't talking about real stories and who family separation affected. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of grew up having this secret and not really sharing my real life with anybody. And so when I got this job, it just became harder and harder to be myself. Like, once I started seeing some success, and I was getting interviewed and people were asking me about my parents and who they were and who I was. And I've like found myself one time like lying about that, and it really hurt me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, what can I do right now? And then, so, you know, coincidentally, while this is happening, also the 2016 election is going on. And so I hear this man out of nowhere attack my community and say that we're murderers and rapists and that we're taking people's jobs. Mm-hmm. And so it's getting people riled up. So now we're actually talking about immigration in a real way. And now with social media, something that I didn't experience, you're seeing all these opinions. And so I started getting really anxious. And then I started seeing young people, young dreamers and students buck up and go to the front lines and say, hey, I'm undocumented. And what are you gonna do with me? Or what kind of options do we have? We are Americans. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I decided, okay, the way I'm going to be of service in a way is to share my personal story. Because when my friends looked at me, or you would think that this stuff wouldn't happen to me. And because I'm an American citizen, people believe here in this country that wouldn't be the case, that couldn't happen to you. But in fact it did, and there were so many different stories like mine, but every situation, every case is different. So I was just tired of people lumping our stories up in one. Mm-hmm. And that's how stereotypes are created, that's how misunderstanding is created, and that's how lack of empathy I think goes, because you're not hearing different stories about who it's affecting. Mm-hmm. And so it was so powerful. It was way more powerful than me and that I could ever imagine, just coming out and just writing one pager about what happened. And I didn't know I was going to write a book. I wrote a book called In the Country We Love about my parents' story and my story growing up without them. And I never thought I was going to be able to do all these things, but it's become a different part of me and a different, a different passion of mine that is fighting for immigration reform and fighting for immigrant rights. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's just awesome.
It was so disheartening because I read, like, reading about it. It was like, you know, they didn't even, like, the government, after they took your parents, they didn't even check up on you, or they didn't try to, like, place you in a, like, they just kind of left you, and you were 14 at the time.
Yeah.
Left you on your own accord to kind of figure it out yourself. And I thought that, my mom's actually an immigration lawyer, but I'd never heard a personal story like that, and I thought it was crazy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. You just never heard of cases like these.
Yeah.
And because people weren't having really kind of thoughtful discourse about it. You would just hear, like, little bits and pieces of, like, this person, you know, ran over the border,
yeah,
and
see,
these,
like,
people are,
yeah,
round up, or you hear of a raid here and there, but you don't hear of, like, ICE going to someone's home,
exactly,
taking a family and the kids coming home and saying, well, where's mom and dad?
Exactly. And no one, like, tells you, oh, this is what happened. You kind of have to figure it out yourself.
Right. Like, and you don't know. It's basically like your family doesn't matter. Your family doesn't exist. And so therefore I didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a 14-year-old, I'm scared. I'm like,
exactly.
What do I do? Well, let me just run away and pretend that this hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. This didn't happen, and I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But now, fortunately, we are in a place where people are being supportive and people are using their voices in extraordinary ways. And, you know, and I just want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that is such it's just such a good story, and it just kind of, it's very touching as well. It's like, like you said, like, every immigration story has a different narrative. Like, my parents, they immigrated here, but my dad joined the American military in order, mm-hmm, to come here. And I remember my parents got married in the Philippines, but my mom, they had to be separated for a while because my mom couldn't come until, like, there was, like, a waiting period where she had to stay in the Philippines, like, for a couple of years while my dad served. So it's And it's like your stance right now is, like, coming at the perfect time.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be any more, like, you know, synchronicity.
Right. Is that a word? You just made that up.
I like that word for what it's worth.
You just made that up.
I like making up words.
Synchronicity.
Oh, God. I sound like a moron.
No, we'll look it up. Yeah. We'll look that one up.
But, yeah, so going to that, like, when you see 45 tweeting,
mm-hmm,
about immigration,
yeah,
and DACA and anything involving his wall,
right,
or anything,
or
of that,
sending national guard troops to secure borders.
Yeah.
How
do you kind of, I mean, I have an idea of how you take that, but, like, how do you maintain composure and not lose your shit?
Right. Well, I think there's been plenty of moments where I've lost my shit. It's like, okay, you know, like, wiping off my mascara, I'm like, I need to do something, you know? And so if anything, it's been motivating.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I hear, you know, some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, or even some of the tweets, and the way that, the sad part is the way that he has misinformed the American public, especially people who already maybe certainly did not know about the immigration system in this country and how broken it is, and certainly, you know, don't understand our history and what America is all about, which is, I'm sorry, actually, we are a country built of immigrants, and this country was built
on the backs of immigrants.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what I see. I'm like, okay, this is a case of people not knowing their history, not digging deep enough, and of course a lack of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think is, because some of the things that I read or hear just don't even seem real to me. And so what I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. A lot of these people who are in this administration and who are making a lot of these decisions and using their power for evil, it's comical almost, because it doesn't seem like they really believe that.
Yeah.
Because it's so untrue and just kind of so ridiculous. So what I think now is, I read that stuff and I just say, okay, this is totally them trying to, like, pin, like, distract the public and you know, demonize and dehumanize an entire community for their personal agenda. So right now they feel like they need to pin, you know, all this you know, all their problems yeah. on the immigrant community when it's just not so.
Yeah, they're projecting, basically.
Oh,
yeah.
totally, because they need major help and they need a wall.
Yeah.
but no, it's motivating for me to continue sharing my story, to continue making a difference where I can. Mm-hmm. I go to different universities and I talk to different students. A lot of high schools and a lot of universities have gotten my book and they use it for their classes.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Kids write essays on it, do projects on it. I've never even, I mean, thought this was possible, but I mean, education is powerful.
Yeah.
And I think that if I'm on the right track, at least on that front, is that people are learning from my story, and that's all I could hope for.
Yeah.
Wow. Your book's a part of a syllabus.
Yeah. It really is. I was like, I didn't graduate college. And school was really hard for me.
Yeah.
So to know
it's like full circle.
Yeah, it is.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Yeah.
I love that you're like, I love that you're, obviously you're this great like Latino voice in the community. And I love that, like I said before, you're using your platform to be an advocate for these issues. But it's kind of like, I guess on the other side of things, so you're first generation, like you mentioned, and it's so common when you're first generation that you get this whole you're not enough, like you're not, like I'm first generation Nigerian. Every time I go home, I get called a Yankee,
yeah.
which is a pejorative.
No, yeah. We both lived in Texas.
Yeah.
I remember I'm Filipino, but in high school, I barely hung out with, but there were hardly any Asians there
yeah.
to begin with.
Yeah.
And it was all white or like Latina, but mm-hmm. like I never really connected with my culture or
yeah.
whatever. Like I couldn't find my place in it. And like, I was never Asian enough.
Yeah. It's either you're, and yeah. it, for me, it was like, you're not Nigerian enough when I was in Nigeria. And then here, you're not black
yeah.
enough because I didn't have the, I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you weren't like, you didn't have like enough cred.
Yeah. It's like, so just for you, is that something that you kind of faced being, especially being, having this platform and being a voice for your community? Have you gotten the whole, you're not something enough? And if so, how do you kind of respond to that or deal with that? Because I know, I think it was Gina Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, she was criticized about how... I think the way she spoke Spanish
in
her show.
Yeah.
I she mean, had a really good response to it, yeah. by the way. But
I haven't heard her response.
Yeah.
But she's an incredible woman. I've always faced that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my own community, growing up, I was called the white girl.
Yeah.
Like all my life. And then going to Colombia, I was called a gringa.
Mm.
And then when I went to college, I was called the Mexican. So I don't even,
I'm
saying? I was like, I'm so confused, guys.
Me too.
Like, where can I be,
exactly.
you know? And when I did try to just be myself and, you know, maybe speak in the vernacular or whatever, I got criticized for that
yeah.
or just, but you
yeah.
know, that, I have learned, and that used to really upset me because it really put me at odds with myself. It's
yeah,
like, who
exactly.
am I? Am I being truthful?
You get so
am I being
confused.
Real?
The whole
yeah.
cultural identity thing, it gets so muddled. And
right.
Yeah, you just don't, you know, eventually we'll find our place.
Sure, and
yeah.
this the thing is that our place is we're figuring it out
mm-hmm.
and we are more than one thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good
point. So
yeah.
many things and we don't have to just stick to one. I mean, gosh, if we did that, then you'd be hella boring.
Yeah.
yeah.
Why
yeah.
do you want to do that? I mean, like I watched, you know, The Crown the other day, I felt like being a little British. you know what I'm saying? Like,
who does
yeah.
that?
And exactly right. And this is America. I mean, we are influenced by so much.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We are so unique. And we have the luxury of having all of these different cultures influence us. And I think now being in a place like LA or New York where everything is just sort of really, you know, culturally mixed,
mm-hmm.
I'm learning to just give less fucks about,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
what people have to say, whether I'm Latina enough or American enough. I
yeah.
think right now what I'm trying to be is human enough.
Oh,
and like,
that's hard.
You know what I mean?
yeah,
and
yeah,
just
yeah.
and trying to understand my place in the world and what I'm here for. I'm here to at least try to make things better for
yeah.
myself, for my family, and for my community.
Yeah, I definitely think entertainers don't, it's not, they don't get, like, it's not fair for them to have to portray this, like, certain figure who they're not just because you are the face of or something, you know? Like, like you said, there's many different versions of being a Latino. There's many different versions of being a Black person or Asian or whatever. Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
I mean, even when I first came out with my story, like, every headline would read, you know, the girl with the deported parents. Like, they just wanted to label, they want to label you in any moment they get. And I'm like, you know, or just like, oh, she's all about, like, Latino issues. And I'm like, no, I'm not all about just Latino issues. I'm an intersectional being.
Yeah.
I care about many different issues and many different peoples and cultures.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, you just constantly have to, like,
I'm glad you said intersectional. Yeah. That's like a term that I love.
It's like, it's a buzzwordy word.
Very buzzy right now.
Yeah.
Well, if you ain't it, you got to get on it.
Yeah. Intersectional, guys.
Intersectional
word
feminist.
Word of 2018. Yes. You are in Orange is the New Black. You're in Jane the Virgin, Superior Donuts. Every time I hear Superior Donuts, as soon as I hear it, I want a donut.
You do want a donut. Yeah. And the show is about donuts.
Yeah. But, you know, you have all these projects and your book. But what else is coming up for you? What do you have in the works that you could talk about or, you know, anything you're excited about to share?
I did a docu-series. I did an episode for this docu-series called America Divided.
Okay.
Docu-series called America Divided.
That's Jesse Williams one? Is that his? Okay,
And, well, he's a producer.
Yeah. John Legend, right?
John Legend did an episode.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people involved, and I did an episode. This is our second season, and I did an episode that, like, really changed my life. I go to Houston and I basically, I do some investigative journalism on sanctuary cities and Hurricane Harvey and how those two correlate. And now I'm actually working on my own docuseries with a woman by the name of Julissa Arce, and it's called Aftermath. And we basically, right this season, we're focusing on people who have been deported.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And basically what happens, like, life after deportation. Yeah. And let me see, any creative projects? I'm like, I'm all about, like, hard-hitting news. And so, like, that's like, what I, like, try to remind, like, actors. I mean, this is, like, a tough business.
Of course.
And I, you know, I have friends that are like, you know, you're doing so much. I'm like, I'm a storyteller. Mm-hmm. I want to be, believe me, you know, at one of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And, like, I want to be, like, you know, the girl next door that gets to fall in love, you know?
Yeah.
And right now I'm focusing on maybe just creating some of my own content, hopefully working on making my story a film. I'm working on that.
That's good.
That would be great.
Yeah, and kind of showing a little bit of what I have. So we'll see.
So Avenger, Marvel.
Are you clear on this?
We're speaking it to the universe. No,
but you know what I mean. Like, get to play these
diverse
fun,
like, roles.
Yeah,
exactly. But right now, I mean, I'm doing this comedy, which is really different from, I've never done a sitcom before, and this is a different experience, and I'm just soaking it all up.
Is there a movie or TV show that people would be surprised that you are, like, a super fan of?
Or they make fun of you, even.
To the point where they might make fun of you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm a Housewives.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm a Housewives fan. What did I watch recently?
Like, is there a show that you watch that you're kind of ashamed of?
Housewives.
Yeah. Well, I haven't watched the new season, but... Fuller House. Oh my God! Why?
I've actually watched the new season.
There's nothing wrong, but I understand.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with Full House, and I just, like, it's just like in the moment of quiet, I just want to, like, get back to being a kid. And
that's
being
the,
like,
thing. It's the nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's the nostalgia.
It's the same
that
gets house.
It's the same house.
Same people.
Same people.
But yeah, that show.
So I watched that quietly. I don't talk to anybody about
no,
that.
No, me too.
There are fans. You should reach out.
I mean, they're doing, I mean,
it's like they go much. They're in the third.
They're in the third season. Yeah, they're not third going or fourth. Anywhere,
yeah, they like. Keep renewing it. Yeah. So we'll probably be seeing it for a little
how
bit.
How rude!
Oh my goodness! How rude!
I know.
So like you mentioned, you have you know you went to school for music. Uh-huh. Or you went to the performing arts school. Mm-hmm. If you were to try out for American Idol or The Voice,
oh my God,
what song would you sing?
I would sing a song that definitely would not get me into The Voice or American Idol. I like a lot of jazz music, and I feel like that's where jazz music and musical theater is kind of where my voice feels more like most comfortable.
What musical? Like, oh, is there a musical you would want to be in? Ooh, a good.
Like, is there a musical I'd like to be in? Yeah. Oh my God, I don't. I mean,
oh my God, Hamilton.
Oh my God, Hamilton.
Hey, Lynn, are you listening?
Lynn, are you listening? Any musical that you your next musical, I'd like to be in it. Thank you very much. I don't know. I think I'd sing like Sooner or Later. Mm-hmm. Do you know that song? It's like it was a song on Madonna sang it. In Dick Tracy.
Oh,
and I used to watch it all the time as a kid, and now I've perfected that song in karaoke.
Okay. Reckless Mahoney. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, she was.
She was the.
It was a very sexy song, even though I try very hard not to be seen as like the sexy person.
Yeah, sometimes you can't help.
But sometimes the songs, your song choices,
it's like very breathy.
Yes.
And,
yeah. Your song choices just don't allow you to escape it. But yeah, I think
we'll see you in Lin-Manuel's next musical.
You sure?
Or,
will.
Yeah.
Or you could write one with him.
Call him up. Oh my God.
Put that out there too. Yes. So this is a bit. This is Orange Is the New Black. Related, but if you could have a cellmate, this is an either or.
Yeah.
If you could have a cellmate, Tommy Lauren or Omarosa.
Which one would you rather have?
Oh my God, this is gonna be like so bad. I feel like Omarosa.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I feel like
all of us just nodded our
heads. Like low key, I feel like maybe she has some tricks up her sleeve that maybe I could like find useful.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
I mean, like actually you'd have a rapport as cellmates and she would kind of have your back, I think.
I think
whereas
so too.
Tommy Lauren, I think
she would
not have your back.
I couldn't even that's not even in my I can't even imagine. That.
Yeah.
Okay. It's something
like,
I can't.
Like, let's make this like the most like outrageous choices.
I would go with Omarosa
any day. No, I think we all agree.
Yeah. So our final question is, we ask this to all our guests, is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it be an actor, director, producer, storyteller, that you think that's not in the mainstream that you think would deserves more time in the spotlight or needs more recognition?
Me. This is Diane time, you guys. I'm trying to get, you know, I'm trying to get
take
out
it.
There.
I have to reclaim my time.
Yeah. I feel underrepresented. I feel like, honestly, I feel like my entire community is misrepresented and underrepresented.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's going to come with us writing our own stories a lot more. I mean, we've seen... We've seen people do it. We've seen Issa Rae do it. Mm-hmm. I love how I like look at you as a black
fine.
Girl. I'm like, let me drop
it's
Issa
fine.
Rae.
And with me, I don't know.
No, yeah, fresh off the boat.
That's true.
Well, Nico Santos on
Superstore.
Superstore.
Yeah.
He's Filipino.
Yeah, he's Filipino. Oh, and he had a whole immigration storyline. Story arc on Superstore, which is very interesting.
Amazing.
He was undocumented on that show.
Well, so, that's what we're doing. That's what we're starting to see now is like actually using, incorporating our own stories and sending out messages that we want to send for good. So for educational purposes.
Yeah.
I want to continue doing that. I think that for too long, I mean, we barely have any writers out there. All the way to the sound person,
mm-hmm.
we don't have enough of the Latin community involved in Hollywood and telling our stories so that, you know, a lot of these kids watching at home see themselves. I think that's important. So shout out to my Latin community.
Yeah.
You need to come up and stay
rise
up.
Up.
Rise up.
There you go, Lynn. Are you listening? That was Diane's tryout.
That was my tryout.
Our audition.
That was my audition.
Well, Diane, thank you so much. It was a great conversation.
This has been an amazing conversation.
Thank you.
We can't wait to see what you have in store.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys.
Cool.